Good morning, everybody. Let us get started. My name's Kevin Carson. I have the pleasure of serving Christ as pastor at Sunrise Baptist in Ozark, Missouri, as well as, if you would, find in your notes, this hour we're going to be talking about what should you do when your dreams include sin. What should you do when your dreams include sin? Just a couple of stories to get us started. I had a friend who was a person I had done premarital counseling with years before, and she called, and her concern was that she was having these dreams that related to adultery, about a former boyfriend. Right, and the concerning nature of that, right? She's not committing adultery, she doesn't think, right? When she's calling me, you know, I'm not sure what to do with this. I'm having these dreams, and I don't know, how am I supposed to handle them? What, this guy, and she tells me this story. Another man calls, and this particular man is struggling. He's in a professional industry that you have to work a lot with people, and so he sees a lot of individuals. And in and out of seeing those people, he's talking to me, and he recognizes that some of the stuff, some of the thoughts he has during the day, and then even as he dreams, it's being impacted. It is impacting his job. Maybe I should say it that way. And he's also concerned. And so what am I supposed to do? Because in my dreams, I'm breaking the law. In my dreams, I'm not following an appropriate ethic, a code. Right? And so what's going on? Help me try to think through this. And then all of us know or have experienced personally just the issues of having a dream. And then you wake up and you realize you're having a physical response to what was in your dream. It could be heavy breathing, right? It could be fear. Just this last weekend, my son, I have a 20-year-old at home still, getting married this next year, but he's at home right now, and I was out of country teaching last week, and he came in the morning talking to my wife, and he said, "Mom, I had a dream that Dad died last night," and he's walking through this whole dream, and right, he woke up with just absolute panic and just trying to wrestle through it. And of course, that's a non-sin dream, but the reality is all of us experience those moments when you dream something and it impacts you emotionally, it impacts you physically on multiple levels. Sometimes even, especially if you travel some, you wake up after a dream and think, okay, where am I at? What state am I in? Did what I just dreamed happen? Paul went through that, I think, in 2 Corinthians 12. He says he went to heaven, and I believe him, but he wasn't sure if it was a dream or wasn't a dream. Why? Because sometimes it's just hard to know. So that's what we're talking about. This comes out of just some counseling case studies that I've been working through. So I didn't pray for us. Let me do that. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. What a joy to sit with all these seasoned counselors here in track 4 and to just reason through how we help people think through these particular issues and the issues that are just that sit next door to it that people come to us and they struggle with. So Lord, we pray that you would grant us wisdom as we think through these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first thing, the reality of sinful dreams, right? Christians sometimes, this is part of what I was talking to you about, Christians sometimes have dreams which include sin. Maybe they're being tempted, as I mentioned, that young lady. Maybe it's wrongdoing, as I talked about with that young man. Maybe it's just simply sinful thoughts. It could be something like you're murdering people, you're producing harm. There's all kinds of various ways you can sin, and being a Christian doesn't exempt you from that. So we talk with folks that struggle And they're like, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I just didn't expect this. One older man came to me, and this is a seasoned Christian. So that's, he's been saved a long time, and he's old, right? That's what we mean by seasoned Christian. So in case you were wondering what that word is. So he was quite elderly. I was a senior adult pastor for years. So this man's been saved a long time. He's walked with the Lord a long time. He's been a Bible teacher. And he came to me and he said, you know, I'm concerned I'm not even saved. How could you have dreams like this and be saved, right? How is this even possible? And as Christians, we should know, yes, we do sometimes have those kinds of dreams. Dreams can feel vividly real, stirring both physical responses and deep emotions that persist after we awaken. Maybe lengthy periods of time. I am blessed with the fact that I can wake up from a dream and it feel very, very real and in an hour not remember what it was at all. Some people say that's just being a blonde, right? I don't know what it is, but the reality is things slip out, right? So I have the ability to forget it. I thank the Lord for that. And a lot of other things that I can forget. The reality is some people don't. It stays with them all day long. I mentioned the second story I mentioned to you. That gentleman's dreaming at night, but as he's doing his professional job during the day, those things tend to stay with him. He's remembering them. He's thinking about them. These dreams can be unsettling because they seem to involve desires or actions you wouldn't consciously choose, which mean they often carry a great sense of guilt or shame. Because you ask yourself, well, why am I thinking this? What's going on? How sick am I? Or how sinful am I? Or how messed up, right? Whatever word the person would choose to use, that this is what's on my mind when I'm sleeping. So it can be very unsettling. And the key truth is this: a sinful dream does not necessarily mean you have committed that sin or you're consenting to it in waking life. You have to be able to separate and realize that just because it happened in a dream doesn't mean I'm morally culpable for it. It doesn't mean I'm responsible. We're going to flesh some of this out more because I think some of what I'm talking about actually just works generally with intrusive thoughts off and on during the day as well. But it is worth attention. It shouldn't simply be dismissed. It's not something you should think about or that you should say, well, boy, I'm glad I don't do that during the daytime and then never think about it anymore. So hopefully I'll help you think through those things. So dreams, guilt, and the heart. You may fear that your dream reveals a hidden fault, a secret desire, or a failure to please God. And I think on both of the levels of the stories I mentioned to you, the young lady, she is wrestling with, does this reflect something going on in my heart when she's contemplating this adulterous relationship, when in her dreams at least? So what's going on at my heart level, and is that somehow being reflected in the dream? This man I mentioned to you, the older man, when he says, well, you know what, I'm not even sure I'm saved. There's no question he has connected what he's dreaming about with what is going on at his heart. Because he's done it so tightly that he's fearful he's not even saved. I think it's in Ecclesiastes 5 is an interesting text. Scripture assures us that dreams are not equivalent to deliberate choices. So in Ecclesiastes 5, it says, just as dreams come when there are many cares, so the rash vow of a fool occurs when there are many words. So we're just looking at the top part of that verse. Solomon is saying that when you have a lot of cares, what? It produces dreams. So there is a sense in which that what we do during the day can impact our dreams, but it doesn't mean then that they're equivalent to a deliberate choice.